Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Really fucking hot take on the treatment of trans characters in cyberpunk RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
So in original cyberpunk, like the one that came out prior to 1990,
mm-hmm.
a sex change cost you...
This was like cyberpunk 2020?
No, cyberpunk 2020 was the one that came out in 1990.
Oh,
this is original cyberpunk.
It's just called cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was based around the, you know, the books, and cybernetics cost humanity points, which... Once went down, it lowered your empathy and made you more
robotic. Machine-like, okay.
But, and it had a cost, but in Cyberpunk 2020, which was released in 1990, mm-hmm. it had no associated cost.
Mm.
Like, it could just be done. And Shadowrun 4th Edition did have a essence cost of 0.3 out of a total 6 or 7 starting essence, which was like less than 5%. And that was removed in 5th Edition. To actually be a net gain for some people. Basically, they hand-waved it away. It's like, look, bringing the body in line with the mind for trans individuals is a not a negative and can actually make them more in tune and get more essence.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically hand-waved it away. But the hot take was that in an early version, if you got enough cyber mods and then had a sex change, you could get cyberpsychosis. Well, cyberpsychosis... or becoming a cyber zombie is when you have reduced your humanity down to near zero, or your essence down below.
Like the people that want to have The Last Jedi remade and think they can actually do it.
Yes. And
they have cyber psychosis because they've been on the internet too long.
Exactly.
It happens to people who are extremely online.
And sadly, you know, I sometimes worry about that myself.
Mm-hmm.
But in the cyber psychosis, basically, you've basically removed everything but, like, your brain... And you're basically a brain in a jar inside of a cyborg body.
Right.
And you go crazy. Not, I'm having a sex change and that makes you go crazy.
Yeah,
it's like, it is a willful misreading of the game, misreading or ignorance of the game systems.
Right.
Of both Shadowrun and Cyberpunk, which are the core games.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically this person just had this nuclear fucking hot take and I'm like, look, I'm not going to get into it with you because you have like 4 times my follower base and you will sick people, but you're wrong. So... here's the facts. Please chill out.
Mm. It's interesting what you're saying about the cyberpsychosis and stuff. Hi, this is Southpaws episode whatever. Cyber.
Yeah.
Cyberpsychosis.
Cyberpaws,
yes. I'm Fuzzwolf. He's
Saverin. And I have strong feelings about cyberpunk as a genre.
So what I was going to say is, so I'm finally done reading shit that I got to read for Planet, for Anthrocon, for laying out stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going to read a book for pleasure. I'm going to pick one of the books that has been on my shelf for months and months and start reading it. So a few months ago, I actually bought one called Necrotech, which is published by Angry Robot. And it's basically cyberpunk. And the main character is sort of like, she wakes up like... Alice at the beginning of
Resident Evil 2
when she's in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
And it's in the empty room and stuff like that. Except this woman has a mechanical left arm and she has some other cyber enhancements. And she's talking about how basically the only processor that all the cybernetic stuff has to run on is the brain.
Uh-huh.
So you can only put as much cyber shit in your body as your brain can handle. And if you reach that point or exceed it, then basically your brain will die and you'll become basically a walking corpse, but with all this still active nano and cybertech on it. And that's necrotech, because when you're basically as a human, you're dead.
Yeah, and in Cyberpunk 2020, basically they say if your humanity goes down to zero, the GM runs your character as a psychopath. Murderous psychopath, and you don't have control of it anymore.
Yeah.
And
I guess this book is much be, the author must have been very inspired by.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a common cyberpunk trope.
Yeah.
And it really depends. I mean, like, in the games, it's a balancing mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's lots of, like, it would be kind of cool, I think, if I had a cool cyber body that was my fursona or fursonas, and I could be a brain in a case and just swap them out as I needed. That'd mm-hmm. be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But that's some far future tech. And a lot of it also with the game, that's willing cyberization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you willingly chopped off your arms and got them replaced with cyber limbs, not you were injured as a child and
I'm
had a cyber limb.
26 pages into this book, but from what I've read so far, it was not a willing cyberization because she's talking about how she wakes up. And the cybertech in this universe, it doesn't feel pain, it doesn't feel pleasure, it doesn't feel hot or cold. As sensors, it can tell you if something's hot or cold. But she wakes up and her arm is in agony, but it's the phantom pain of the missing limb that she's still having, because her brain, and when you lose a limb, your brain is still convinced that limb
exists. The fuck is missing? Ah.
And sometimes your missing leg or arm or whatever it'll feel pain because your brain is still sort of mapped to think that you have a left hand.
Uh-huh.
So like she wakes up and her arm is in pain, but it's not the cyber arm. It's her missing arm that's causing her pain.
Yeah.
So based on that, I'm kind of like, okay, it was not a willing amputation, mm-hmm. probably.
And the thing is, like, this is one of those, it's such a fucking minor thing to get mad about. Their anger is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
They
are free to have their wrong opinions on the internet.
They're free to get mad about how, like, Cyberpunk has mm-hmm. not had a great history about, like, gender stuff. But
mm-hmm.
the current games that have addressed it.
Yeah,
and
that,
like,
sounds kind of cool how they flipped on that.
Mad about this game that's not going to be out for a couple years that they've told us basically fucking nothing about.
Right.
But they're getting mad about this game that's coming out in the future.
Is this going to be the one that's in 2070?
Yeah, 2077.
Okay.
About getting mad about the original version that came out in the 80s. It is literally D&D summoning Satan, casting spells like a witch. It is that level of disingenuous, bad faith taking.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that's enough about that topic. I'm just like, it'll be cool. It's coming out in 2 years. I'm not going to spend time
mm-hmm.
thinking about it, except when they release images.
This is our people are wrong on the internet segment.
Exactly. It's not like I'm seeking out these things, but people retweet it onto my timeline. I'm just like,
I think you should unfollow the people that retweeted that.
I did.
Because I'm like, seriously? Someone agreed with that hot take?
Yeah.
Fuck them.
So, solving the problem, but it was just one of those, like, oh. Also, this person is, like, apparently they're 18. The game system that they're getting mad about is older than they are. And the addition that fixed that shit is the same age as they are. Actually, no, that's wrong. It's 10 years older than they are, because they're 18 in 2018, and the book came out in 1990. So, children, they're not fully cooked.
Right, yeah.
Anyways, so we do have some topics for this week. It has been a heck of a week in the news, so let's throw
there's some stuff that I don't know if we will or won't talk about, because the other day I felt like throwing myself under a bus.
Oh, no. I was going to say, like, hey, the one, like, tiny little, like, nanometer-thick silver lining is that Chuck Schumer unveiled a bill to decriminalize marijuana on the federal level.
Unfortunately, he's a Democrat, and since a Democrat introduced it, it means the Republicans will never allow it actually.
Like, basically, they're putting it out there, and
it's going to be a campaign issue.
It's like decriminalizing weed in Texas. I mean, yeah, that's Republican plank, but really, will they do it? It would be nice.
It'd be nice. It'd be interesting if they do. And, like, I was telling Tieran about that, and I was like, this was always, like, a Democratic position. So, I'm really wondering why they're doing it. And then I was like, are they maybe trying to get hip to the youth vote or something like
that? How do you do, fellow kids? You like the weed, the devil's lettuce, Satan's oregano, jazz cigarettes.
I hadn't heard that one.
Really? No?
No, I heard the others. Because you said, wow, your shoe is falling apart.
Yeah, I was just like, I was fiddling with my foot, and I'm like, that's my toe. That's my sock. Oh, I'm going to have to get new shoes before Anthrocon, that's for sure.
Yeah, because that's solid
problem.
Concrete floor in the dealer's hall is not going to be kind to your busted-ass shoe.
And the other thing that was really cool was a DSA candidate in New York
right.
ran against, like, a 20-year...
14-term, I think.
Yeah, like, this dude like had that. Been there and won.
She also had, like, a shitload less money than he did.
She ran on, like, $300,000. And I don't want to get her name wrong, and I retweeted a bunch about this. And, like, my mom fucking faved my retweets about this. She's like, wow, this girl sounds good. So that's always fun. Mm-hmm. It's like my mom is favoriting my political retweets.
Oh, your mom follows me on Twitter, and I feel so bad because, like, well, I'm not always super careful with my language or anything. So.
But she did reply to you the other day.
Yes, she did.
She was like, I feel pretty bad, too. Hugs.
Yeah, like, I faved that. I actually thought that was sweet of her. That was on, like, Supreme Court Day. Monday or Tuesday. Or Tuesday or Wednesday.
And that fucking sucks. I mean, that guy is fucking everybody up for a long-ass time.
So, basically, she primaried a long-term Democratic congressman. So, it'll be her against whatever candidate the Republicans put up. It'll be really interesting to see because, like, there's a lot of articles, a lot of think pieces, a lot of talk and arguments in Democratic and leftist circles right now about do we run our Democratic establishment candidates or do we run our hard left Democratic socialist candidates. Like, yes, they will appeal to the left, but how will they do when we get to a general election? And so this will be interesting to see what happens in the actual election, whether running as a hard left candidate, if she can actually hold that seat.
Okay, so her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And it was funny because a lot of the political places were just like, young challenger, they wouldn't name her. It was really weird.
Like, that's odd.
Yeah, they're just like...
Because that was coming from political groups.
It was just AP politics. It's like, by young challenger, do you mean Hispanic socialist bartender? She's like 28. She's the youngest candidate for Senate ever.
Yeah, she's apparently, Congress, I think.
Or Congress.
Yeah. Yeah, she broke somebody else's record for youngest person to run.
I'm trying to find her.
So one of the Fox News chuckle fucks had put on their big monitor, basically, this is this person's
platform. I found it. Okay,
this is the future that liberals want. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So it's Medicare for all, housing is a human right, a federal jobs guarantee, gun control / assault weapons ban, criminal justice reform and private prisons, immigration justice / abolish ICE, solidarity with Puerto Rico, mobilizing against climate change, clean campaign finance, higher education for all, women's rights, support LGBTQIA+, support seniors, curb Wall Street gambling, and restore Glass-Steagall.
So, which of those is bad, Fuzz?
None.
Exactly. They put this up on Fox News, like, look at this radical leftist ideas. And it's like, these are all really amazingly good ideas.
And some of them are fucking basic. Like, I don't know how you can, like... I wonder if you went point by point and it was like, support seniors.
Old people have it too easy. Why aren't they working 3 jobs at Walmart and McDonald's?
Like...
And Taco Bell.
And since, like, you know, the only base conservatives have is, like, they have a lot of older people. So I can't see how they could fight on that. At solidarity with Puerto Rico seems like ridiculous to speak against that, because it's like they're fucking American citizens. Well,
don't you know, Fuzz? They're brown. This is Fox News we're talking about.
I know.
Housing is a human right. They hate the homeless. Medicare, they hate the poor that are sick. You know, gun control, they're fucking gun fuckers. Mm-hmm. You know, criminal justice reform into private prisons, well, that affects their investments.
Yeah.
You know,
immigration justice again, brown people.
Abolish ICE, all these fucking SS wannabes out of a job,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully imprisoned. Mobilizing climate change, well, that affects their oil futures.
Right.
Clean campaign finance prevents dark money. So, like, stopping mm-hmm. Citizens United, higher education for all, you know, higher education, educated populace is more liberal because they're more educated about the world and are out of their intellectual bubbles, therefore less conservatives. Women's rights, well, what do they need them, right? Support the queers, oh no, Jesus hates them. And curb Wall Street gambling, again, fucked with their bottom line and their investments. Uh-huh. So it's like, I can find their evil-ass, evil position
for all of this shit.
And it's just like, it really fucking lays it out bare. Like, these are the type of the people that think all of these things are bad.
Yeah.
It's wild. So that was really good. She won, and basically the dude conceded and was like, all right, let's go. And yeah, this is what the people of New York wanted. She is out there on foot. She campaigned. And, yeah, it turns out when you're like, hey, these are the things that I want for you, instead of vague neoliberal, like, we need to look good as opposed to actually do good.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I agree. See, the thing is, I'm weird politically. Like, I agree with all of her positions. But and before the word centrist became a dirty word, I saw myself as kind of a centrist. But frankly, I never really have been. Like, you know, when I look at all the actual points that or the political positions that far left people are putting out, I basically agree with all of them.
And the thing is, like, our language is so fucking skewed as to what
the Overton window has just shifted so much.
And it's funny because, like, I saw a chart that was basically, like, the rest of the world, it's, like, left, right, center, and then, like, America, far left, is barely to the right of center in the rest of the world, and then the far and our right wing is more close to the actual fascist, because guess what?
Yeah.
Hi, Adam. Like, goodness.
Like, this country is really badly skewed to the right. I mean, yeah, our socialists are basically centrists in the rest of the world.
But we're trying to fucking get something done.
Because,
Adam.
Because the U.S. is so right-leaning, it does make me concerned about, can our far left people win in general elections? And I know that's gonna make a lot of people like scream at me based on Twitter. Like, if you have any doubt whatsoever about this candidate winning in November, it's like, oh, you're a horrible establishment Democrat. Well,
at least with Alexandra, you know, she's in a very safe Dem area. Like, there was nobody that's gonna run against her really and have a chance. And even then, when you lay out your policies like that, like what you want the government to do, people go, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. I like that people are actually running and actually talking about stuff that, like, people would talk about, but, like, when they were running as politicians, they would never actually say it. Like, there are actually left politicians running on ideas like universal basic income, decriminalize marijuana, abolish ICE. Like, those are things that, like, socialists would talk amongst themselves about, but nobody would ever actually run on a platform like that because it wouldn't get any traction. And now they are actually people running on that platform. So I'm really interested to see how shit goes in November, because, God, if they could actually start dragging our political system back towards the real center, over to the left, like, that would be amazing. You know, what if, like, all all these far left people start winning and like Republicans have to compromise and become more liberal in order to get reelected because there's Democrats that have much better ideas there, you know,
because you've always seen that old political comic where it's like, if you move a little, I'll move a little. Come on. The Democrat on the left moves towards the right, and the person on the right walks 30 feet backwards.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's exactly how things have been.
Your ears are so soft, Adam. So
yes, Adam soft. Has joined us and is in my lap.
Podcast pal.
Yup.
Our new line of toys.
Coming soon. Not available at Toys R Us, though.
Comes with little microphone.
Yep. And little jingly bits on his collar because he is super jangly.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that chat? There it is.
Doggy has bling.
So it is sad to say that by the time Seven gets out there, Toys R Us will be dead.
Yeah.
The last 2 days were today and tomorrow.
Although I imagine they're going to have a fixture auction for that stuff that was still there. Because we did that when I worked in Montgomery Ward. I was laid off for several weeks, and then I was brought back for 4 10-hour days at $10 an hour. They were like, we want people to bring in some of your experienced employees to work the fixture auction. So me and a friend of mine and a couple of other people all basically got like a little mini job in the middle of our severance period.
Of being sad
and having to walk around and prepare all the fixtures and tag everything and organize everything for being auctioned off. And eventually they bring an auctioneer in there, and like our poor manager was trying to keep track of this. And like, have you ever actually seen like a real auctioneer like really going at it? Like they're talking like really, really fast and hands everywhere, and like, you better bid or GTFO, man, because they ain't playing around. And our poor manager is trying to basically keep up with all the bids, and it's like, oh my god, what's going on? But it's a very strange and stressful situation. So
I went to the Toys R Us up in Louisville today.
Yes.
And the entry vestibule, the part where they had generally their seasonal stuff,
right,
was there. And the rest of it was cordoned off. And it was like, only fixture buyers only past this point. They weren't doing any cash transactions anymore. They had a little sign up, wanted buyer for remaining stock. And I was looking at that, and like, all that was left was some of the Megazord toys from the most recent Power Rangers movie.
Mm-hmm.
This Rusty and Rex or something, some toy line that apparently Super didn't hit, they had a bunch of, and like a billion Yo-Kai watches.
Mm.
And that was it. And oh, they did have a couple of Spider-Man 2 things.
Mm-hmm.
As in the 2004 film Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they were like the little collector card things.
They must have dug that out the depths of the stock room.
That was the thing about Toys R Us. You could find random shit that was, well, in that particular case, 14 years old, just been lurking in the back closet somewhere that you go, or you open up a valance and go, oh, Christ.
Someone that doesn't work here anymore put this in a corner for themselves and forgot about it and...
Yeah. It was sad. And then I went by the extremely sad mall that was nearby.
Oh, no, you left out the saddest part, the Jeffrey by the door.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure y'all have seen at this point on Twitter, it's the picture of someone in the Jeffrey costume with a bit of luggage, and they're waving to the camera inside an empty store.
Yeah.
And they also had a, like, 6-foot-tall standee. It wasn't a standee, it was like a big cardboard print thing. It's like, I'll always be a Toys R Us kid, and it's got a image of Jeffrey waving, and you're supposed to, like, take a selfie by it. And it was by the exit door, but my arm wasn't long enough. I was like, I couldn't take a proper selfie with this fuck. Aw. Like, this is sad. And it is really sad, because, like, Toys R Us is my first retail job, and I have moderately okay memories of that.
Yeah.
And this was, like, literally vulture capitalists coming in and fucking it up.
It's a fucking bankruptcy and death of a well-known American institution.
That totally didn't happen to happen.
Didn't have to happen.
And I read a thing, this is the third largest retail bankruptcy there's ever been in the U.S.
Mm.
Like, this is 33,000 people that have, probably as of tomorrow, lost their job.
At the time, Ward's went under. it was the biggest bankruptcy ever. And I don't know if that had been surpassed or not. I think we had less than 33,000 employees at the time.
It's frustrating and sad. You know, they previously had all these Toys R Us exclusives. Like, I got a couple of Evolution plush over here behind me that have the Toys R Us exclusive on them. They're still in their box. I haven't taken them out, but I'm also not going to be like, oh, I got to hang on to this and eBay it in 10 years, because that's not how I roll. But,
yeah,
you know, all these people lost their jobs, and now that narrows, like, the toy maker market.
Yeah.
You know, toy sections in, like, Walmart are vanishingly small in some cases. Target doesn't have a ton. They don't really... There's not a lot of places to sell toys anymore outside of the big box retailers.
Yeah.
So this, you know, limits the, like, what's going to be out there. Like, what kind of random dumb toy are they going
to
make?
Aren't they also... The Vulture Capitalists are also looking to buy KB, weren't they? Or they did
to KB.
They bought KB.
Did the same thing to Toys R Us. And now GameStop is looking to get bought, and the same general type of vulture capitalists are coming in going, oh, that's a nice little group of businesses you've got there. Shame if we were to buy them, offload our debt onto them, and then drive you out of business. Because, you know, GameStop has GameStop. They've got ThinkGeek. They've got Experimac. They've got Cricket Wireless.
Yeah.
They've got a number of other businesses that are subsidiaries that employ a lot of people. And again, they're one of the places where you can get physical games. I mean, yeah, you can get most of them. You can get most games at, like, big box retailers, but you can't, like, sell back your shit. Not that I would recommend it, but
yeah.
Basically, they're a thing that exists, and they were a consolidation of, like, EB Games, Babbage's, Funko Land. It's just the market's consolidating and shrinking into a singularity and then going poof.
Yeah.
And the black hole eats all the jobs.
Yep.
You know.
So they're measuring largest Chapter 11 bankruptcies in order of the total assets that the company had when they filed.
Okay.
So the number one is Kmart. In January 2002, they filed for bankruptcy. They had $14 billion in assets, and they later got bought by Sears. That's why they're still around. Number two was Federated Department Stores, now Macy's, so I'm assuming they reorganized. That was in 1990. Number three is Toys R Us, September 2017. The company I used to work for, Montgomery Ward, actually appears on here twice, because first they filed in 97, and that was like the protection type where they're like, you've got a year to reorganize and get your
like
shit together.
Seven, I think it is.
Huh?
And like Chapter 7.
Yeah, this is listing Chapter 13, so I'm not sure.
I think it's like Chapter 11, Chapter 7, and then 13 is the we're fucked, we're quitting.
It says Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, so technically that's what Toys R Us is under.
Okay,
but that's dated September 2017. And then I guess they decided to just be like, fuck it. So Ward's is number five in 1997. That was the first filing. And they're number nine in December 2000. And that was basically like, we tried the reorganized way for like 3 years. And
it didn't work.
And we're fucked. You know, like the people were just not coming in at all. So.
And, you know, it's, I don't know what the deal is with that area right there, but the retail has been hit really hard.
In Louisville?
Yeah, up in that little area.
Yeah.
Because, like, Toys R Us is going under, but, like, that mall is mostly empty. The Music City Mall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it got purchased, it used to be Vista Ridge Mall, got purchased by some fundy guy who decided that he was going to turn it into a destination event mall where he has stages and has musicians come in on the weekends, and he stuck a random Ten Commandments monolith in one of the corridors. So, like, they added a carousel. You know, they're trying to make it this... It's a family destination mall, and basically all the businesses have fled. They don't even have a Hot Topic anymore. They still got a Spencer's, because a mall that doesn't have a Spencer's is, like, by law, forced to close.
Wait, what? I started Googling Music City Mall to see if there was... Was anything on there? What'd you say if they don't have a Spencer's or forced to close?
Yeah, I mean, because, like, what mall doesn't have a Spencer's? No matter how shitty the mall is, they will always have a Spencer's.
Right, yeah. So they have a Spencer's, but
they have a Spencer's, but they don't have a Hot Topic.
Okay.
Or a GameStop. They do have a little comic shop in there, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
And they have a little gaming cafe. So basically, the rent's really cheap, so they can run those businesses in a mall.
Ooh. I could open a bookstore there.
No.
And I wonder how some of my hardcore triple X furry comics would go down with the
Christian owner. You could set up a kiosk in the middle of the aisle and sell your clean stuff.
Where's the fun in that?
There's not. That would be a terrible idea. I'm sure Tyrion would be like, no, honey.
You set up right across from the Subway, and then you're like, hey, you like sandwiches? I've got this book called Bridges.
You like footlongs?
Where a guy gets sandwiched between two other guys.
You like footlongs? Here's the Catholicology with Patrick and the Saluki character, whose name I can't remember.
Sebastian. Seb. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew it until you expected me to remember, but yes.
Yeah, so that area is just kind of sad, but I just wanted to go out there, see, like, what's even left at the end of one day left at Toys R Us, and turns out
so after the hellish week of news, one day, randomly, you were just like, man, I need to feel sadder. I'm going to go to Toys R Us.
Yeah.
On its second to last day of business.
And, like, I was also contemplating going up to the gym, towards the gym slightly earlier, so I could go by the one in Frisco.
Uh-huh.
Then I thought to myself, but then I'd feel really sad. I'm going to watch the semifinals of Great British Baking Show Season 2 instead.
Oh, okay.
Where they had to make a ridiculous cake.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 7-layer cake called an opera cake. It has, like, it's 7 layers of sheet cake.
Holy sheet.
But they're super thin, and, like, they have seven mm-hmm. different, like, 6 layers of filling, plus a layer of, like, chocolate ganache on top.
Oh.
And it's this delicate-ass French. It was the semifinal was, like, French week.
Mm.
And so it came down to one gal just royally fucked it up,
mm-hmm.
the flavors. She was like, I'm going to use banana, and used a bunch of artificial banana flavoring. So think about serving a cake that tastes like a banana Laffy Taffy to these gourmet judges. And they were like, there's not a lot to this. And there's not a lot but this super artificial banana flavoring.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, it's technically okay, but it tastes like shit. They didn't say that, but they were like, you could have done better. Because, again, this is Great British Baking Show. If they're like, it's a bit of a bother. The person looks like they want to die, you know? Oh, God, Mary Berry told me I could have done better. Well, time to fucking commit Sudoku. You know? they carve the grid onto their chest with the knife. You know?
And then the other contestants have to play Sudoku on their dying body. It's like carving the numbers.
It's the only way.
Wow, that is fucking dark.
So, you want to know what else is dark?
No, not really.
So, it's Dark Horse Comics. So, that's actually a good thing.
Okay, this is actually positive.
So, yeah, Dark Horse Comics apparently had, like, no sort of trans health care on their employee health insurance.
I think it was actually specifically excluded.
Like, well.
Yeah.
Dark Horse Comics reverses its anti-trans healthcare stance, will ensure trans employees. It basically, it excluded trans employees from certain types of coverage. It wasn't just like, oh, we don't cover this. It was just like, no, we don't cover you at all. The issue came to light earlier this month when Dark Horse announced a Pride Month sale featuring inclusive comics such as Black Hammer, ElfQuest, Husbands, and others.
Mm-hmm.
And
they changed their Twitter icon. It's the Dark Horse logo with the Pride.
But with a rainbow. Cover.
Yeah, colors behind it.
Fucking rainbow washing, pride washing. Like, I was in...
I hadn't heard the term rainbow washing. It's
like pink washing or green washing, whenever basically the companies are like... It's like a hotel, like, oh, help protect the environment. Hang on to your towels.
Uh-huh.
I'm paying you to fucking clean my room. But they posit it in a, like, environmental manner, but basically you're just trying to save themselves money. Or pink washing is just like slapping a pink thing on. We donate portion of profits, which is like 0.5% or whatever, to breast cancer things. Or in this case, just slapping a rainbow thing on. Brands are not your friend, kids. I think we've covered this in the past. Like, I was in JCPenney, and, like, they had a Levi's. It was, like, the Levi's logo, but it was rainbow, and you could purchase this shirt for $20. And it's like, I mean, at least with things like the D&D logo with the and, they've been working on inclusivity and promoting inclusivity in their games.
Yeah.
But, like, what the fuck does a jeans company logo, rainbow, have to do with shit? And it's like a Dodge truck logo, the Ram, but it's a rainbow, you know? It's like, eh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you see a lot of that with Dark Horse, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to slap a rainbow on our stuff, and even though our company is, you know, exclusive it,
you know,
in certain ways.
In the case of Dark Horse, I kind of wonder if, like, that was something that the majority of the people in the company didn't even know about. You know, like, oh, somebody in HR picked this healthcare plan. And then as soon as it was brought to light, like on social media, their social media team were like,
uh-oh,
guys, we really need to address this. And, you know, they very quickly fucking revamped their healthcare plan. So,
yeah,
I mean, you know,
they have
good
to
on them for that. But, like, it kind of took, like, the public shame of being smacked about on Twitter, basically.
And it's one of those things where it's like, trans exclusivity is very important, you know, because, like, you know, gay, you know, same-sex couples have a lot of coverage options now in healthcare, but trans people still have a lot of obstacles.
Yeah,
be it company insurance policies or just, well, just in general, right? And so you've got, if it's not inclusive on, like, if you're a major company and it's not inclusive, they're gonna fucking let you know.
Yeah,
and the people will let you know. I mean, there's still companies like Exxon that completely exclude any sort of, like, same-sex couples and anything.
Mm.
Like, they still have a zero on the HRC Equality Index, I'm pretty sure. But now, like, most companies at least have some sort of trans-exclusivity in terms of their health insurance options.
Yeah.
And, like, some places have non-discrimination policies, et cetera.
I really think that as a community, queer people really need to put more of a focus on improving the lives of trans people.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, things are not perfect for gays, and things are not perfect for lesbians, mostly because they're women, and shit is not good for women in this country. But, like, they're better than they were, like, 50 years ago. But for trans people have it really fucking rough. And they face a lot more institutionalized issues than gays and lesbians do.
It's the sort of principle of, like, you've climbed the ladder, now turn around and help them up, as opposed to push the ladder down behind you.
Right, right? Yeah, yeah.
You know, all right, we're making some headway, well, let's help this next group.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that whole rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing, you know?
So that's good. Also, apparently Starbucks is going to be covering, like, transition costs for people, like their employees at some point. That was another thing I saw announced.
Oh, okay.
I don't have, like, the citation in our chat, but I know I saw that and I'll have to put it in the show notes.
That is actually, like, an actionable thing.
Yeah, that's like a,
you know,
like,
that's
some concrete action, not we support. It's like, yo, we're saying we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if they actually do it, that's really good.
Yeah. Like, I've always sort of said, like, I'm kind of okay with brands being like, yay, gays, because it's like, that's, I know it's a marketing thing. They want our gay money, but, like, that basically means that the conservative customers' opinions don't matter and they can fuck off.
Oh, I mean, like, I totally agree.
Being inclusive and not bigoted is much more economically healthy to a company than being bigoted is. And I think that is a very good thing.
Yeah. Cynicism is, you know, they're not, like, yay gays all the time, but it's good that these companies are recognizing Pride Month and are rainbowing up some shit. And that's cool. I mean, it's way better than them being hostile.
Right, yeah.
Because there's enough, like, small-minded business tyrants that want to, that are hostile. But, like,
if Chick-fil-A fucking did it, I'd be like, no.
I'm gonna...
But, you know, like, some of the big tech companies and, like, Starbucks has been very pro-gay rights in the past. Microsoft and Google also. So, like, when they Google's already rainbowed up, but, you know, when they do shit for Pride Month or something like that, I feel that it's not as entirely empty as other,
like,
companies.
Entirely
you know, if they're scoring decently on the HRC, like, they're covering equal marriage for benefits for everybody, they're covering transitions and trans-related medical expenses as part of their benefits and stuff like that, then you know, yeah, then I'm cool with them slapping on the rainbows for June. And funny enough, like, I haven't done anything with it. Like, you know, part of me was like, this is weird. It sort of goes opposite of what I just said. But part of me was like, I don't want to cash in on Pride. I guess I could have been like, save 10% off of all of our gay comics and
so in like June. 90% of your comics.
Right, yeah.
Just running a month-long sale.
Yeah, 10% off 90%.
Yeah, except now, it's like...
But, we're more mixed than that, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I just sort of... And maybe I'll feel different about it in the future. I don't know, I just kind of felt that would be kind of commercializing and not in a good way. You know, I'll totally do... You know, Black Friday and stuff like that. Although I absolutely don't support like stores opening on Thanksgiving and shit like that. But yeah, I don't know about doing it during Pride Month, you know. But I'll come up with a whole different reason. I mean, it's going to be 4th of July. It's going to be Anthrocon. Those are good reasons to have a sale.
Adam, that'll show up on the audio, his little flippy ears.
Flippy ears, yes.
Yeah, it's like, where's Adam? Like, if he wakes up, he does his little flippy ears and it's like, oh, there's where he is.
So hey, let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
Apart from being behind the table, do you have any plans at Anthrocon?
I don't right this second. Like, I've got some friends that are going, and like, I just need to look at the schedule.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice to...
Wondering if there's anywhere you wanted to see, any restaurants you wanted to go to.
I'd have to look, because, like, I haven't been up there in a long time.
Yeah.
And the last time I went, my health was still not super great.
Right, yeah.
And so, like, now, you know, I got my shit together, health-wise at least. And, yeah.
Were you pre-surgery the last time you went?
Oh, Christ. I think I was slightly post-surgery.
Okay.
But it's been a long time. And I'd have to look. I think it might have been.
I know you went in 04, but you'd been more recently us.
Yeah. I don't recall.
Yeah.
I think it was when.
It was probably either the year before or the year after. It was probably like right in.
Yeah. There. So like I was still really heavy. So this will be the first time I'm back at Anthrocon in a healthier state.
Right. Yeah.
I'll have to look around. Because, like, yeah, we have a lot of people at tables, but it's just, like, finding stuff to do in the evenings. Like, I know there's a bunch of shows. There's, like, social stuff. There's the zoo. There's all this other stuff to
I know
see.
Fox and Pepper are going to be playing
I'll
again.
I'll have to go see them
you
in concert
should go check
for
them
once.
Out. Yeah, that would be cool if you actually finally get to see them perform. Tonic closed last year, unfortunately. You totally eat at Sharp Edge Bistro. I really enjoy them. They are right across the street from the Courtyard Marriott. So nice. They're, like, on that same stretch where there's, like, three or four good restaurants.
Yeah, and then, like, the Subway.
Yeah, and then the Subway, which is the only reason I don't go to the Subway a lot is because it is always packed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like...
The sandwich mines are in full production.
I think one year they ran out of bread.
Oh, it's totally possible. Furries are hungry, and there's a lot of us.
I love that, like, their stores were like the Ben & Jerry's that one year.
We need more ice cream.
Where it's like,
run.
They sell one thing, ice cream. What did we eat them out of? Ice cream. Like, they ran out and had to call other branches in the area to truck in more ice cream to get through Sunday.
Yeah. I think the last time I went was the last year Fernando's was there. Like,
yeah.
We had just done, like, the Save Fernando's bit.
Yeah, it's a different company now.
Yeah, now it's something else. It's like a pizza place.
It's a pizza, yeah.
I think Zia posted a pic
which
in the chat.
Which might be neat to try it out.
Sure.
You know.
I'll have to get a good look around. I've not been down there in a number of years. I will have the energy to do shit at the end of day. Well, that was, like, while I was at FWA this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to close my rings. So I was like, all right, got to go out and just go walking around and seeing the things.
Dodging knives.
No, none of that. It was pretty decent and calm down there in Atlanta.
What I was going to say was that, like, you and Zia and Ajax all play Pogo.
Yeah.
And Zia last year had taken a walk to, like, a different area of Pittsburgh, not too far away, where there's, like, more restaurants and stuff like that. So I could totally see, like, the three of you, like, maybe going for a walk out there and trying, like, a different place to eat and stuff like
and
that.
And going and pogoing in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because actually, it's only been around a couple of years at this point, so obviously I wasn't there when Pogo was around, but between the friend system. Like, I'm stocking up on Taros, so if any of you European folks are European, Australian, whomever, if you're not from North America, specifically North America, because if you're coming from, like, if you're in the tropics, they have a, there's an exclusive that's in the tropical
zone. There's one for Africa, too.
Yeah, right. There's, but, like, south of a certain point, there's a Heracross. They're a bug Pokemon that's a tropical bug. And so, like, that's if you're in the tropical zones of the planet. So it's like there's a number of these Pokemon that I don't have that I'm just like, give, please.
I will trade you this North American exclusive.
Yes, I have this three-tailed bison thing,
for please. Your New Zealand Pokemon.
New Zealand dinosaur fish, please.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I want to hear how y'all do. You know, I know Ajax is looking forward to trading with people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like, so I'm stocking up on the Mon I can. And raising my friendship level with Ajax and other people like Azia and Kyle and Idas and Noxie, etc.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know all of them were, like,
friended. Yeah, so they're passing out codes and, like, I'm trying to focus on the people that I know.
Yeah.
Because that way, if I do stuff like Avery and Ajax, like, if we got raiding together and we're all friends...
Yeah.
That gives us all a bonus. Like, we get a collective bonus when we're doing events together.
Nice.
So, like, if we're out raiding, that means that we will get bonus damage as our friendship rank goes up. And also get, like, bonus balls on catching the raid boss. And, like, it lowers the cost of trading Pokemon. Like, if I hatched another Alolan Vulpix, because I hatched one today, and I'm super excited because she's really good.
And she says, fuck the law again on the stage.
Yeah. The Alolan eggs, the Hawaiian eggs, the Vulpix is like a 2% drop rate. But like, most of it's the gay little Meowths. And then it's like Meowths, Sandshrews, Muck, and then Vulpix is this tiny little sliver. And it only took me 16 eggs to hatch a Vulpix. So I was really happy with that one.
Nice.
I'm not going to trade her away. But if I hatched another one, I might be tempted to trade one. But that is neither here nor there. I'm looking forward to seeing Anthrocon, being social, and catching Pokemon in Pittsburgh.
Sounds good.
Which also, this is silly, but totally valid. If you catch Pokemon in an area and then trade them in a further area, you get distance towards a goal, towards like a thing. So like, if I traded something from here to somebody in Pittsburgh, that's like 2,000 kilometers distance. Yeah. So they get a bonus on the candy from it being traded that from a long distance away, and like it goes towards like a badge. So that's really cool. And so, like, if I get to trade something from somebody from Australia or whatever, like, the maximum distance you can get is, like, 28,000 kilometers or whatever, because, like, it's the other side of the Earth. But, like, unfortunately, the other side, the literal other side of the Earth from here is, like, the middle of the Indian Ocean. So, you know, I can't get the maximum distance, but the best I can do is Australia.
Yeah.
the other interesting things.
Yes.
So... every person that has said, I could run a con better than this.
Oh, God, this. Right.
They're wrong.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some of you guys might have heard about an event called TanaCon.
Uh-huh.
This is apparently some YouTube bullshit. It was running concurrently the same weekend as YouTube's VidCon.
Right.
YouTube VidCon is where all those YouTube sociopaths get together and have a little circle jerk.
I'm sorry, my chair started floating because of the bile that I'm suddenly swimming in.
Now, I'm sure there are good YouTubers out there,
thank God my Apple Watch is water resistant. I'm going to put it on the little water drop anyway.
So, VidCon, you know, it's about raising your channel, etc. Shame if your channel has just completely died because of their change of policy.
Is it about raising your brand profile?
Brand profile and collaborations.
Synergizing your social media strategies across a broad market. That should be a fucking panel.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be a successful YouTuber? Rule one, don't be a racist.
Well, unless you want to be a political YouTuber, then you are a super racist. And they still have channels with millions of subs.
But if you say a naughty word like fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
well, not suitable for most advertisers.
Uh-huh.
And God help you if you try to make gay content. They put PragerU videos in front of you and flag it if the word transgender appears in it.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
So YouTube fucking sucks. Just saying that. That's my opinion. There's people that enjoy doing it, but mm-hmm. I found it to be a frustrating waste of time, ultimately. Yeah. Anyways, the VidCon happened, but then this other gal who was like, I guess she didn't get in or whatever.
Or like, she had... I think she had stated that she had problems with how VidCon is run.
And that's valid.
Apparently, a lot of other people felt the same way, and they were the YouTubers that went in to this with her.
So, the young woman's name is Tana Mongo, almost down the street, was shot down by the fire marshal after more than 20,000 fans showed up for the event. It's an event that people on Twitter are referring to as the new Fire Festival. Mongo, who has more than 3.5 million subs and is extremely popular on Instagram, tweeted about the closure early this afternoon. Everything is fine, just fire marshal keeping it safe. Basically, no one expected 20,000. We sold 5,000 tickets at a capacity of 5,000, the majority of which are free, and then 15,000 people showed up outside the gates.
Mm-hmm.
And were rushing, pretending to be VIP and stuff. So basically, this is like, you know, insert random YouTuber, you know, popular 3.5 million fans.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, you know, in population centers. So, oh, we're going to have this
in Houston, right?
No, this was in... where was it? I don't see where it's at. I think it's on the West Coast, because VidCon's on the West Coast somewhere.
Okay,
basically, lots of YouTubers work out of L.A.
Right.
It's a very popular area for, you know, entertainment types in general. And so, like, VidCon was going on, and she's like, well, I'm going to hold my own con with Instagram models and fashion bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
So they did, and then they didn't think their cunning plan all the way through. And that's kind of the thing, when you have just her audience of 3.5 million people, but then she got all these other people whose audiences don't necessarily overlap.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, hey, we're having this great fucking party, and then 20,000 people show up, and the hotel's like, what the fuck?
So, I mean, it would be fair to say it was extraordinarily successful.
Yeah, it's like these people have these cults of personality and these big, huge fan bases. And, like, if they leveraged it properly, well, because, like, Jesse Cox, right? He's a video game, he's a gaming YouTuber, kind of on the side of things. But he has an event in the UK called CoxCon, C-O-X. And he's run it for a number of years.
How all these people name the cons after themselves. Like, no narcissism at all.
Exactly.
Involved here,
and
right?
And so he has an event in the UK that has several thousand people, and it's in this some little suburb of London.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of, I guess, gaming conventions.
For the fan adulation.
The fan adulation of the people who live in the UK and the EU.
Mm-hmm.
Soon to be just the UK. Unless you get a Visa.
Yeah, it's everywhere you want to be.
So,
or is that MasterCard? I can never remember.
I don't know. Anyway. But basically, she put together this event
in a month. 1 to 3 months. I can't remember which it was.
And sold things for like $1. Just, she had like the most bare bones thing. So it's like, this young woman put herself on the hook for a lot
of
money. So it's really interesting to see what we'll see happen in the end. For her, it's interesting on the convention organizer side of things that she could just summon this army of followers to come to an event.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, obviously these people, these big followings, they do have a reach.
Yeah.
And so, like, if she shows up at some convention, she could probably get 1 billion people to show up.
Right. I mean, you know, so what you really needed in this case was, you're like, okay, you have your talent who has the market penetration, and she can get you a shitload of attendees, but she really needed to ally herself with some experienced con organizers to actually handle all the logistics.
She needed a venue that was big enough. And the thing is, she had 20,000 people show up at an event that she planned in a month. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, we get 4,000 people, and we've been going for Fiesta for a decade at this point, you know?
Right.
We built for nothing.
And each event takes over a year to plan.
And she just slapped this shit together. Now, obviously, it was a big disaster, but it's like, man, if she leveraged with a actual convention org, she could run a beast of an event.
Yeah.
But she needs to price point it correctly and also have a venue big enough for the very obviously large demand.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I like the idea, but I'm sorry to say it really can't be free.
No.
You know, if you're going to expect a five-figure amount of people now, you're going to need to, like, run a convention center, and that shit ain't cheap.
It was in Anaheim.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, big population center.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why the fuck did I think it was in Houston?
Yeah. Huh. Well, there's plenty of conventions in Houston that have come off half-cocked. But, yeah.
I want to make sure that we always come off fully cocked.
Yeah. Maybe you actually have two. Well, we have some reptile friends. Also, Panther points out that it might be worth bringing up that underplanning kills a lot of conventions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this was definitely a mega underplanned event. Like, the nugget is there. Like, the little chunk of gold is there. You just have to, like, build the structure around it so that you can actually get it out.
Like, I don't know anything about her or how good or bad of a person or organization
this is one of those, like, YouTubers I've never heard of, but very clearly has an audience.
All I'm saying is, it's like, yeah, she clearly has the audience, and hopefully she has not damaged her reputation to the point that she can never do this again, because if she tries this again and she has the proper support and venue, you know, people around her that know what they're doing, like, they could do, and if they have legitimate concerns with how VidCon is run, which, from some of the comments I saw, apparently there are legitimate concerns with how YouTube runs VidCon, you know, then there are definitely people that would be willing to help put on an alternative to it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say that there's plenty of problems with how YouTube runs YouTube, but, you know.
Right, yeah.
And Panther does point out that, like, underplanning nearly caused a lot of issues at Fiesta, too, because year one, we had more than twice the amount of people we planned to show up.
Right, yeah. And I mean, that wasn't, you know,
that was understaffing.
We had over 500 people. Like, yeah, we had 14 people on staff the first year.
It was gnarly.
And one of them was me. So, like, I helped out, like, a little the first day, but then I had to go run my table.
Yeah, and Panther and I, and that was gnarly.
Yeah. Ran out of con books.
Yeah.
I think that year I ran home and printed more schedules.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. So, basically, you know, it's cool that she tried it, and now I'm just like, spend a year, get some people with better logistical planning, and throw your own VidCon with Blackjack and Hookers, but maybe neither of those, and be the change you want to be in the YouTube convention scene.
Yeah.
Panther has brought his space future jeans to show off in a minute.
Mm.
Well, I can't show off. Panther has this really cool pair of jeans that he was like, yo, the fabric is this neat space fabric, but I can't show it off because it's a podcast and not a video show.
But, you know, what a lot of people don't know is that, much like Master Chief, they do jerk him off during the day.
Yeah, they're some high-tech pants.
Yeah.
You know, got to have that tension relief so that he's only killing aliens and not his fellow soldiers.
True.
Oh, God, I lost my train of thought. So, okay, here's something fun. And by fun, I mean silly.
Okay.
The hashtag not my Star Wars hashtag. So, this is something that I'm sure you guys have probably heard or seen about. It is somebody who apparently is a furry making a manifesto, a declaration of intent for the video rebellion. These are the people that are, like, aligned with the remake Star Wars crowd that we talked about last week.
I can't believe they wrote it like a fucking King's Proclamation.
Yeah.
The image I saw, it looks like it's on parchment and shit.
Yeah, and they fucking Crayola'd a fucking seal together, and then they made this tweet thread that had all this, like, the black means this, and the red means that, and the gold means blah. And it's like, we, the fans of Star Wars, do this day send forth this declaration to the president of Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, and to all people of the world to make clear the purposes and goal of this rebellion. Paragraphs, long thing. So this is their... You have disrespected the characters of the original trilogy, treating them as mere tools and stepping stones for the characters. You have used your characters as toys and tools to push an agenda of masculine inferiority. You have lied to George Lucas. They're mad about Han Solo dying. They're mad about Leia's scene in The Last Jedi where she fucking force grips herself back to the ship.
That was one of the best scenes.
You have refused to acknowledge any complaints of legitimate fans. Do not even recognize the people who are not male or not Caucasian dislike your modus operandi as well. We, the fans of Star Wars, do therefore, in the name and by the authority of the free market of the world, solemnly publish and declare our intentions to fight and oppose you and your socio-political ideals by any and all means at our disposal, to refuse any decree from Lucasfilm as to what we should like this country to the right of opinion, to bring about your destruction. Reading this just makes me, like, my body try to choke itself. To forever restore true characterization of those beings in the galaxy far, far away. To these ends, we pledge our merchandise, our honor, and our wallets. Yeah. Okay, you can stop the crying baby video now. So, it is just the most ridiculous thing. And then, like, somebody made a shitty version in Arbesh, which is the fictional language of the galaxy in Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
Except they just did, like, transliteration and not translation, so it's just like, this character means A, this character means B. So it's, like, apparently wrong, because it's a language similar to Klingon. But anyways, like, this bizarre-ass fan entitlement continues in increasingly delightful and bizarre ways. Basically, these guys, it's just burner account, but it's got a furry icon, and they're talking about how, you know, oh, all these women in Star Wars have made masculine inferiority, and how dare Han Solo be killed by his son? And how dare this happen? And what's the deal with Admiral Holdo? No, everybody knows that a woman with purple hair can't lead a rebellion.
Only fish people can lead rebellions.
Yeah. They're getting mad about the dude named after Calamari and, like, space wizards fighting with flashlight laser swords. But a woman with purple hair leading a rebellion? That is simply too much. So, don't be nerds like that, kids. And what's funny is because, like, just like the prior weeks, we're going to try to raise money to remake The Last Jedi, similar, like, Chuck Wendig and Rian Johnson saw this and were like, lol.
Yeah.
Like, these people are so absurd that, like, the directors, director of the movies and, like, writers of some of the novels are just like, what the hell?
I think months ago, even Mark Hamill dunked on them.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, one of our last good people.
Yeah, so far so good with him. I'm hoping he continues to
He is not milkshake ducked.
He is not milkshake ducked himself. I saw a variant on that today. It's like, ah, oh, you know, whenever I'm feeling down, I watch this YouTube video of a duck. It loves milkshakes.
I got bad news for you, Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to share a brief, cute Twitter story that I saw. So this guy, I don't remember who the original tweeter was, but he's like, my four-year-old just asked me the hardest question ever. They asked me if a lightsaber could cut through Captain America's shield. 5 hours later, scouring fan theories and fan fiction websites, and I don't have the answer. And someone quote tweeted it, and they added Mark Hamill and Chris Evans. And first, Mark Hamill quote replies and says, you know, Luke wouldn't fight a hero, but if he had to, a lightsaber could totally cut the shield into a million pieces.
Ah, yes.
And then Chris Evans quote tweeted his reply, foolish, now I have vibranium ninja stars.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, it's just two of the last good people in Hollywood being, like, decent and having fun with their various franchises, you know? And I was like, we needed a little bit of uplifting humor this week.
Well, here's something uplifting. It's a man in a store with a shirt that is Bugs Bunny spanking Lola on the back.
This has got to be shopped, right?
It probably has to be a Photoshop, but it's a guy in a store with Bugs Bunny spanking Lola on the back of his t-shirt.
And Bugs is smoking a cigar.
I mean, it could totally be one of those weird knockoff shirts you see on the kiosks at the mall.
Oh my god, Bugs is wearing a fedora.
It's probably one of those, like, knockoff shirts at the mall where you have, like, oh, it's a picture of Ariel, but she's wearing a shirt with Jack Daniels and she's got a bunch of weird tats on her arms, you know? Or it has random minions. We're gonna draw Captain America as a minion. And, like, the thing is, like, I don't know, that shirt could totally be, like, silk printed. It could be fake.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's some good wrinkles there. Just saying.
Yeah.
That's convincing.
Who was it that sent me, like... Somebody sent me, like, a bunch of pictures of tattoos. Oh, I think it was you. The him spanking. Gadget was being spanked by somebody.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was
a Russian tattoo artist, and she did a lot of Gadget.
Yeah.
On people's bodies.
Yeah.
Like, she was very skilled, but it was just really funny because, like, wow, that's a lot of mouse tits. So.
Like, yeah, like, that's difficult to explain at the doctor's office, you know?
Well, you know, I figure, you know, if you're in Russia, who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah.
So.
All you have to say is too much vodka. Yeah.
Also, I will say that this week has been nice. So, I've got a nice dual monitor set up now, and porn wallpaper as always.
I thought that's where you were going with this. You're going to talk in detail about your new wallpaper.
My new wallpaper, it's some butts. No, I've had my main PC, but then, like, on the second monitor, I've just had Summer Games Done Quick on the second monitor just running all week.
Oh,
so I've been watching all these good speed runs and races, and it's been a lot of fun to see people doing that. And, like,
cool.
You know, as always, there's lots of, you know, queer and trans representation and people working in there, and I'm like, wow. You know, it's like, I always have the Twitch window, chat window closed, but I'm like... Yo, they probably put up with so much bullshit. They're still here. Like, this is the third or fourth year I've seen, like, Proto Magical Girl on screen, and she's still there, still doing shit. I'm like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
maybe she doesn't look at the Twitch window either.
I would hope that she doesn't. They do curate their chat a lot harder now, but still, people are shits. It's Twitch. When you got 101,000 people in a chat room, there's going to be a bunch of assholes.
Wow, that many, huh?
Yeah, there's hundreds of thousands of people watching, and at a given time, and for bigger games, it goes up quite a bit.
I think Twitch is still live streaming Doctor Who.
Yeah, too. And Bob Ross, the Joy of Painting, and I think at some point they might do Mr. Rogers. That'd be kind of cool.
Wonder where they are on Doctor Who now. Last I saw, they were still in the third Doctor, and he had 5 seasons. So I wonder if they're into the fourth Doctor yet or not.
Like, today, I got to see... Well, I think maybe it was last night. It was like there was a Hat in Time speedrun race between, I think, two younger runners, I think, are siblings.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it was a super neck-and-neck race until the older brother, like, fucked up and died. Like, the younger brother caught up and won, but it was, like, within seconds of each other.
Ooh.
There was a Metroid Zero Mission speedrun race that was, like, an any percent run. But, like, 20 minutes in, some motherfucker, he screwed up some RNG manipulation or something and just died. And the thing is, in a speedrun like that, they're not making saves. So he was just out.
Oh.
And I felt so bad for the dude because he just kind of, like, got up and he's like, well, and just left. he went and sat on the couch and was like, well, I'm done. Because there's no coming back from that because you're 26 minutes behind at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been fun. It's been entertaining. They're raising money for Doctors Without Borders.
Oh, okay, cool.
I used my free Twitch Prime sub to that. Get access to 60 emotes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a free Twitch Prime sub, you might as well. It gets $2.50 towards Doctors Without Borders.
Mm.
Or I think maybe they give the whole $5 to them for...
For charity, they might.
Yeah, because it's a charitable event.
Yeah.
So that's what I use my free Twitch Prime thing for. And if you have Twitch Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, and you're not using it, you might as well throw it that way.
Mm-hmm. It had been so long since I'd redone it, like, I had to Google how to do it again.
How do I do this thing?
Well, I was trying to do it on my phone, and, like, that setting doesn't appear to be
on
the Amazon mobile.
They're doing the Mario World 96. I think it's the... Mario
SNES?
World run. No, Super NES.
Yeah, that's what said SNES.
Yes, the SNES Mario World. I don't know if it's like a 96 exit, if it's a race or what, but I'm like, oh shit.
What's a 96 exit?
In Mario World, there's 96 stage exits.
Okay.
And so, like, when you start the game, it has the little number next to your save game, ABC. 96, you have everything. You've gotten all the exits to all the worlds.
Okay.
You've gotten all the secret exits.
So you're not warping over levels or whatever.
Yeah, this is like you're doing everything and making sure you're getting all the bullshits.
Right.
I don't know what it is. Oh, no.
Do you have to, like, collect every single coin and stuff when you're doing that?
No, I think it's just, like, you have to finish the worlds.
Yeah, go through each world.
Yeah, without dying.
In a record time.
Yeah, and it's always fun. And then there's just the random games you've never seen. Like, I got to see Pepsi Man run last night, which Pepsi Man was this promotional game put out by Pepsi in Japan for the Sega Saturn that for some reason has, like, American actors in, like, the cutscenes, and it's live-action video.
Uh-huh.
And it's really funny because it's this American-ass actor in this American-looking house playing Pepsi Man. And by the end of it, as the cutscenes progress, there's just more and more Pepsi cans. So, like, by the end of the game, he's like, oh, I gotta go. And he stands up and goes to the bathroom, and there's just, this house is full of, like, hundreds of empty Pepsi cans. I'm like, man, that guy's pancreas is dead. He's got the diabetes. Wow. He is dead. So, Summer Games Done Quick has been also lots of fun to see.
Yeah.
It's good video gaming.
I know that one, I know, like, at least two Twitch gamers, well, three. Counting you, but I don't know, one of the dudes I know, like, seems to play, like, a lot of old, obscure, or downright bad games. Like, he's done speedruns of
Percentia.
Yeah, he's done Friday the 13th, he's done Back to the Future.
Yeah, he runs a thing called Kusugande.
Yeah, okay, so you know what that is.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter, on Twitch.
Cool.
And so, basically, it's speedrunning bad games. Kusugande is a combination of a Japanese word kuso, which means shit, and grande, which is big in Spanish.
Oh.
So it's big shit.
Oh my god.
So basically speedrun awful games for retro consoles. Or awful games of modern consoles. But like they did Back to the Future games and several other runs. It's like I see his stuff.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun. So, yeah, he was at it.
FDQ. Yeah, Awesome Games.
Awesome Games is the winner one. Summer Games is the one that's running now.
Oh, okay,
but,
all right.
Yeah, he was there at the event, and I think he ran something. I didn't see it, unfortunately. But
yeah, I'm not surprised he was there. He's big into that
community. Did a thing, so that's cool.
So where is it? You said he was there. I was like, so I guess it's not just an online thing.
It's all in person. I do not know where, but it's still, like, several thousand people there for, like, a week.
Wow.
Well, they're not all there for the entire week unless they're, like, the actual support staff.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, it's a full week's of stuff, so people come in, do their run, stay a day or two, and then go home. So,
right.
Like, people cycle through.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to know exactly where it's at, like, from looking at it, because it's just any other fucking convention ballroom in any convention hotel ever.
Right, yeah.
You know? Cause
it's held at a secret location.
I'll have to look it up. Also, today I saw an extremely cursed vehicle at Whataburger.
Oh?
It was some fucking Potterhead, but they had a Not Today Muggle Fucker on their window.
Potter font.
Yeah, too. Like, I'm pretty sure the guys that drove the car were the ones that were doing the face painting in the corner there. Because, like, I walked up to it, looked at it, sighed, and took a photo, and the guy was, like, staring at me. And I didn't, like, make eye contact, and I was just like, ugh. I was just like, Christ. Well, you know, it could be worse. It could be worse.
Oh, God. We could have named the episode that.
Muggle fucker. So, how about the new hamster on Overwatch?
Yeah, I saw the new hero little video.
Yeah, his name is Hammond. He is a hamster. This is the real question thing, though. So, normally, hamsters only live to be, like, 3 years old on the top end.
Right, yes.
And this little fucker is canonically 14.
Uh-huh.
But he's been genetically uplifted. So, the question is Hammond underage, or is he some sort of, like, immortal elven lich type thing? Is he, like, going... Because he's lived, like, six times the lifespan of a fucking regular hamster. I really wonder. Because, man, furries went to town quick getting porn of him.
Yeah, there was a couple of people apparently posted porn, and I saw tweets by one artist online, and I'm not going to say their name because I don't want them bombarded with people screaming or whatever. But basically, his opinion was, oh my God, you guys are crazy. It's like he's lived, like, you know, many times Like, in human years, he's like 400 years old or something, yeah, or 600 years old or something like that. He's uplifted. He's intelligent. He can talk. He can operate this mech.
He drives a fucking mecha.
He basically, he's like, he passes the Harkness test in every way.
His robot communicates for him. Like, it translates his squeaks. Like, if you do the hello, yeah, he's like, squeak. And then the robot says, hello.
Yeah.
And he does the little wave. It's super cute. But it's just one of those things where it's like, oh no, this tiny little hamster. It's a fucking hamster. He's like a foot tall. That's like super huge for a hamster, but it's still a little hamster in a giant wrecking ball. It's hilarious. But
yeah.
Maybe slow your dicks down. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't really see them pairing him up with, like, I mean, he's smaller than a fleshlight.
Well, that being said, I did see someone make a really funny tweet earlier today that was Winston and him, and then it was like Winston and the derp and the hamster, and then the picture of the little hamster trying to eat the giant banana.
Who's Winston?
The gorilla. The gorilla character in Overwatch.
Yeah, see, I don't know that context. Sorry.
So it was one of those like, oh Christ.
The only Winston I know is the Ghostbuster character.
So Hammond _ Overwatch currently has 7 pieces on E621 that don't hit my blacklist. Actually, I'm not logged in here, so there's nothing that would be blacklisted yet. Let's see, who's that artist? Because
who's that artist?
Well, someone named Zilrain, and it's like, yeah, you know, most mice and rodents in general have giant fucking balls.
Right.
So they're like, hey, look, it's a giant, it's a little fucking hamster with a big old dick and balls. And it's like,
and he's sitting in the cockpit of his mech.
So I'm just like, okay, well, that's a thing. Little micro or just micro is not quite my thing. So, okay, y'all do you. And there was a tweet I retweeted earlier today. It's like, sir, we have to come up with the character for Overwatch that people don't want to fuck. A hamster. 2 minutes later, I regret to inform you we've failed.
Like, they've never heard the old urban legends about gerbiling? I mean,
and that was one of the first picks that somebody drew, was that.
Oh my god.
So, basically, it's a real thing. It's very much, oh, we're such furry trash.
I once heard a podcast describe squirrels as the fleshlights of the forest.
God.
But they're only single use. And I was just like, that's so awful. What else do we want to talk about? Do we have any other topics?
Well, let's see. Looking back at our chat, because we have a chat that keeps track of our shit from week to week.
I certainly can't rely on my brain to do it.
So. That's right. A New Zealand man flew to the U.S. to confront his waifu, who's tried to stop talking to him and tried to attack her mom and got shot for it.
So, you said waifu. Is this actually like, somewhat...
Okay, this guy was trying to talk to this underage girl who told him to fuck off, and he came from New Zealand to Virginia.
Oh my god.
So, a New Zealand man flew to the U.S. state of Virginia and was shot after trying to break into the home of the teenage girl whom he met online. Troy George Skinner, 25, was shot in the neck by the girl's mother after smashing his way through a glass door. Goochland County Sheriff James Agnew said the man was also armed with a knife, duct tape, and pepper spray. There was nothing good going to happen here. He traveled over 8,500 miles, 13,500 kilometers, after the girl stopped speaking to him online. This was not random, not spontaneous, and was something very planned, Sheriff Agnew said on Monday, describing Mr. Skinner's 2 days of travel. It's a new world, he added. Police say the man had taken 3 flights and a bus and head from Auckland, New Zealand, to the suburbs of Richmond, Virginia. He was not invited here, he was not expected here, and he had been told in the past the daughter no longer wanted to communicate with him, adding that the two had met through Discord, an app that allows video gamers to speak to each other online. So, she was on, like, the same server he was or something.
Oh, okay.
The incident occurred on Friday in the Holland Hills neighborhood when the mother and her two teenage girls, aged 14 and 18, were painting inside the house. He knocked on the door, but the mother, whom the police did not identify, chose not to answer, telling investigators she was not in the habit of answering the door during the day. After seeing the mother inside, he yelled that he had hitchhiked 30 miles to the house and needed help. He then attempted to enter their home, and eventually got a brick and attempted to break the door down, the sheriff said, adding that he attempted to violently get inside the house. The mother warned Mr. Skinner that she had a gun and waited until he had reached his arm past the broken glass to attempt to unlatch the door before she fired 2 shots. All I can say is the manner in which he attempted to enter the home in the face of a firearm pointed at him and implements he recovered from, the only inference he had very bad intent, Sheriff Agnew said. No shit.
That's an almost British-like statement of understatement.
Mr. Skinner was shot once in the next and fled to a nearby yard where he collapsed. Police found him with a knife, pepper spray, and his plane ticket from New Zealand in his pocket. He planned to return. Police believe the weapon and tape had been purchased at a nearby Walmart. He is expected to survive and is facing charges of breaking and entering with a deadly weapon and with the intent to commit a serious offense. Goochland County officials say they've contacted the FBI for assistance. The sheriff said that the girl's parents were unaware of her contact with Mr. Skinner, and the girl had tried to cut off communication with him since first meeting online 4 months earlier. He told reporters he found it hard to fathom how far the suspect is believed to have traveled. When you sit back and think about it, I said, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, so this is like a super fucked up story that could have gone super fucking bad. Thankfully, the girl was home with her mom, and her mom had fucking blasted him. And, like, didn't kill him, so he gets to survive, gets to go to jail in the U.S., and then be permanently barred from the country afterwards.
Right.
Like, holy shit.
So, on a lighter note, the one other thing we made a note of is the Black Sad video game.
Oh, shit, that's right. Because I put that before I typed in episode 389.
Yes, it is coming to the Nintendo Switch in 2019. It's called Black Sad Under the Skin. And if you go to the website nintendoeverything.com, there's a short article about it. There are 5 screen caps from the game, which show how the characters are going to look like in some of the various locations.
Yeah, in the show notes, as always. But, yeah, I saw that and was like, holy shit, that is really cool to see Black Sad. It's a, like, what, French or Italian comic?
It's a combination. There's, like, one of the guys is French and one's Italian, or one's French and one's Spanish, or I forget. Like, there's the writer and the artist, okay. And they're from different places.
It is a European comic, and it's really cool that they're making a game for it.
It's usually issued in, like, French and then German first, and like then a couple years later.
Dark Horse brought out the anthologies of it, wasn't it?
Dark Horse now has the English translation rights, so they bring it out in the States, usually a couple years after its release in Europe.
So that's really cool. I'm really interested to see how, like, women will be portrayed, because he has a really weird bit of inconsistency with how he draws, like, the animal dudes and the animal women.
Yeah, you know, somebody pointed out that is in another cartoon or comic or something like that, where, like, they'll make the guys will look like super animalistic and stuff like that, but the girls will have, like, almost human faces and much shorter muzzles and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like, this wasn't just Black Sad, this was like another might have been, like, even like Omaha or something like that, I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, if you look at the characters in, say, Wakfu,
I don't know what that is. It's a French show. Okay.
Like, the dudes are very animalistic and big, and the chicks are big-titted chicks with animal ears slapped on kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the sexual dimorphism of fantasy.
So, again, like, mostly human-looking female characters.
But they've got a tail.
Right.
You know.
Which is, I mean, it's the best part, but, you know.
Having a tail might be pretty cool. Then there'd be, like, the people that are all, like, the skunk chasers, because they got those big, massive, poofy tails. And then there's... So, anyways, yes, a furry's tail would be very important to them.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's kind of it. It's nearly 11 o'clock, so we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
This has just been kind of a ramble show. We tried to keep it a little lighter this week. But, you know, there is some good shit happening. It's not all doom and gloom. I mean, don't let all this bad shit drive you to despair. Let it radicalize you instead. Go out there, sign up to fucking vote. Make sure your shit's all lined up. You know, get organized, get mad, and get ready to go fucking vote in November.
I don't know if we mentioned on the show that Sampikos had his Patreon suspended, and now it has been reinstated. Did we mention either of that aspect of the story on there?
Yes.
Okay.
So he got his thing back and then immediately posted 2 pieces of Judy that he did.
Right. Nice. So what I'm saying is, if you want to see, like, some hot bunny action, support Sampikos on Patreon.
Yep. That's a good $5 a month that I spend. Yeah.
On that note, if you want to, you can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/southpodcast.
Yep, we appreciate it.
You can find us on Twitter at southpodcast. You can send us email at southpodcast@gmail.com or a non-Tumblr asks at southpodcast.tumblr.com. I'm Fuzzwolf. You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. As you know, probably know, unless this is your first episode, I own a publishing company, For Planet. You can visit our website at forplanet.com for print books and comics, or go to baddogbooks.com for ebooks. And this episode will drop before Anthrocon. So just so you know, if you're going to Anthrocon, we are located in our usual spot in row A of the dealer's room. We have three tables side by side. Look for the wall of posters. This year, we are right next to our friends at Sofa Wolf Press. So there will be like a combined six tables in a row of fucking books and comics and art, and it'll be pretty awesome. So, you know, come with your credit cards ready and
buy some books.
Buy some books
and trade me some Pokemon.
Trade Savern some Pokemon. And where, how can they find you, Savern?
Find me on Twitter at Savern Drake. Find me on Twitch at Savern. And you can find me at Anthrocon here this next week. I will be driving to and from, so I may be a little tired on the first Friday or so. But you know what? I will do my best to keep energized.
And last week you posted some kind of friend code for Pogo.
Yeah, in the notes. I put my friend code in the notes, and I can probably slap it in there again.
So that's how they can find you if they want to like trade some Pokemon.
I should get like a little cardstock sign, like just sit on the table. It's like friend code Nita Taros, or trade me your regionals. Yeah. So on that note, good night.
And buy books.